Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this Easter morning is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on the mountain the covering that is cast over all the people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 25. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God and the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the gospel acclamation. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for the sunrise celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from John the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as of yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Thus the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, a day of hope and promise that death, our death, has been overcome by the first fruits, Jesus, risen from the dead this day. Strengthen us, Father, in the promises of our Savior given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It seems impossible, doesn't it? If you've been looking and watching and walking with Jesus through the last week, and you see all of the things he's done, the miracles he's done, it seems impossible that this really could be what Jesus is all about. All these things that Jesus did seem too good to be true. Lazarus, Jesus' good friend, has died, and Jesus is there. He's in the grave 4 days. Death is doing its worst. He stinks. Jesus goes and comforts his sisters. And then he walks to the tomb where the dead man is decomposing, and he says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus stands up and walks out. Death has been stopped, defeated. Life is given, and Lazarus walks out of the grave. It seems impossible, doesn't it? We know what death does. We know the results of that death and how that affects us. It seems impossible that any one man would have the power to beat death. The night before Jesus is betrayed, he's with his disciples. They're celebrating the Passover meal where God has rescued his people, Israel, from the slavery of Egypt. The angel of death passed over them because there was the blood of a lamb on the door, a perfect lamb, and they were inside. They were eating the roasted remains of that lamb. And because of that, because God protects his people from death, the angel of death passed over all of those who were protected by the lamb and the blood. It seems impossible, doesn't it? That blood and body could stop death, that it could give us hope and promise, that it could rescue us from the slavery of sin and death. Jesus didn't run from his crucifixion. He didn't try to defend himself or justify himself. He didn't condemn those who nailed him there. He simply said, "It is finished." And he gave up his life. It seems impossible that an innocent man would not try to defend himself. It seems impossible that any good could come out of this horrific death that Jesus just experienced. It seems impossible that one man's death 2,000 some years ago would forgive all of our sins and take away death's hold on us. The events of Easter morning, this very morning, they seem impossible as well. 3 women go to the tomb of a dead man that they've put there before. As they go, it's impossible for them to roll away this huge stone that seals the tomb. And right there, on Easter morning, we see the impossible give way to the reality of hope and joy. The eyewitness, St. Mark, writes this, "And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man seated on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here.'" That's impossible. The impossible has now been defeated. Christ is risen. The 3 women and the disciples after them, they saw with their own eyes that Jesus Christ was alive and well. This resurrection, life-giving, death-changing reality, that gives us hope. You and I know what death does. We know the pain of death, the uncaring way that it breaks into our families and steals away those that we love. We saw that very thing last week right here in our Divine Shepherd family. we know that death waits for us. It really seems impossible that we could have hope when we deal with death. But the impossible has been defeated by Jesus. The world apart from Christ would have us believe that death is a part of life. If you like the Disney version, it would be death is part of the circle of life. But that's not true. St. Paul tells us something otherwise. St. Paul tells us sin brings death. Adam and Eve started it when they doubted God and sin came into the world, and because of that, death followed. We've been dealing with it ever since. Our sin always tries to turn us away from God, to think that somehow we can beat sin on our own. You maybe even convinced yourself that I'm not really that bad. My sin isn't that terrible. I don't need God that much. But do you really think you can beat death? That's the reality that's before us. We might think we can do fine with our sins, but it's impossible to think that you and I can beat death on our own. But Jesus did. In order to beat death, you have to deal with sin. And Good Friday on the cross is exactly what happened. Good Friday on the cross, every sin of every person, yes, all of yours included and mine, were placed on Jesus. God, his Father, God, our Father, turned his back on his own dear Son and let him hang there in agony with all of the burden of our sin upon him. And Jesus died as the worst condemned sinner ever. God turned his back on his Son. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he gave up his spirit. He died. And you were forgiven. Sin was dealt with once and for all. And because sin was forgiven, death's eternal hold on you was done. Where sin is forgiven, death has no eternal hold. We saw that on Good Friday. The forgiveness that Jesus won for all of us on the cross, Good Friday, was so powerful that when Jesus gave up his life, the tombs of those who were gathered there began to move. And the dead that were in those tombs came to life and went into the holy city, Jerusalem. Death's hold had been removed so powerfully by Jesus that his victory spilled over into the graves that were there, and the dead came out alive, just like Lazarus, just like Jesus, because death had no hold on them, because their sin had been forgiven. Where sin is forgiven, death has no hold. I know it's early, but let's say that together. Where sin is forgiven, death has no hold. The impossible has been beaten by Jesus. And that, my friends, gives us hope. The resurrection, death-stopping hope, is given to us in Jesus' resurrection. That's what Job believed. Job, who suffered terribly with all of these things, Job that didn't understand everything that was going on in his world, and in the midst of Job's suffering, he still believed that God would forgive sins. And Job writes this: "And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I shall see him for myself with these eyes. I shall behold him." Not only did Job know that God would beat sin, that he knew also that his body would rise from death's grasp. Just like Lazarus, just like Jesus, just like all of us who believe that Christ is risen. The impossible has been defeated, and that, my friends, gives us resurrection hope. Isaiah had that same resurrection hope. He said this: "Jesus will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away every tear from faces." We've been to funerals together. We've cried together. And the hope that we have on this day Is that our tears of grief and sadness at that day when we say goodbye to the one we love will be wiped away by Jesus with this cry? Christ is risen. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, the first and only one to do the impossible. Jesus died, and when he died, he killed your death. Your sin, your eternal death stayed in the tomb as Jesus walked out, and that gives us resurrection hope. Not just hope for someday, but hope for today. That gives us hope when we stare at the casket of someone we love. Every Christian funeral that we do is a reflection of today. Every time we gather to say goodbye to the one we love, that Christ candle is lit, reminding us that this person is Christ's. That this funeral service that we gather at is actually an Easter service, reminding us that Christ is risen. The very first gospel that we hear in the service where we are saying goodbye to our loved one, at least temporarily, is from St. Paul, and he writes this: "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." There is grieving when we face death, no doubt. Just like Good Friday, when Jesus' mother and those gathered there cried as he gave up his life. But that grieving is transformed into resurrection hope because Jesus has done the impossible. Where sin is forgiven, death has no hold. Christ is risen. And that, my friends, is our greatest hope. It's our greatest hope for today. And it's our greatest hope when we face death. Jesus went before you into the grave, into death. Just like a good shepherd always leads his sheep. He went before you into the grave and he made that grave a holy, sanctified place where your body will rest until he calls you to be with him. Jesus rose on the third day just as he promised, sin forgiven, death defeated, so that death cannot hold you. Where sin is forgiven, death has no hold. Good Friday is the place where peace with God was won when Jesus said, "It is finished." Today, Easter Sunday, this is the glorious result of Jesus' victory. Death's cold, uncaring clutches did not, could not hold Jesus. And because he's risen from the dead, death will not hold you. Because your death has died with Jesus. That is the Easter resurrection hope for all of us. Dear friends, Christ is risen. And that is our Easter hope. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.